Hello, good evening, and welcome to another edition of Highland Radio's Farming News and Views. Well, my special guest tonight is Noel O'Driscoll, Suicide Liaison Officer with Consol. Noel, very good evening to you. And first of all, maybe you can tell us a little bit about Consol, the National Suicide Charity.
Good evening, Chris, and thanks for the opportunity. Consol was set up. It's a national suicide charity based in Selbridge, County Kildare, and it was set up by Paul Kelly, and I think this is in the public arena, so I'm not breaking any confidence here. Paul had a family member who died through suicide, and so he was moved along with others to set up this organisation to support people who had been bereaved through suicide. So Consol, I guess, is, as well as feeding into, the national policies and so forth, it offers counselling support. It's involved in preventative work, and it's also involved in, what we talk about postvention, so after a suicide has occurred. And it has a number of counselling centres, in Ireland, Dublin, Mayo, Wexford, and a number of other places. And in the last 12 months, it's also begun to develop a new service, which is, I suppose, a full time that service is the Family Suicide Bereavement Liaison Service, or Suicide Liaison Officer, and that's the part of what I deliver in County Donegal 2 days a week. And the idea of that service is essentially that that I would meet with a bereaved family at their request, or as a group or individually, and they might have specific questions around some of the practical issues following a death through suicide, or they might want guidance or assistance, they might want access to therapeutic service, or sometimes families, they have specific questions, they're in quests that follow, Garda statements that need to be taken, and, it's a very challenging time for families, and so often the opportunity to meet with somebody that can offer them a little bit of support, while also some guidance. And sometimes it's about normalising what's happening for individuals. For anybody who's experienced, a death through suicide, it impacts in significant ways. So that's part of what I do in Donegal, and that service also extends out into other areas. So it's like Leitrim, the service is also up and running. It's also running in North Tipperary and Limerick, Clare and Galway. I think one of the other things, Chris, that, really important to mention, that it's funded, it is a collaboration with the HSE, and it is funded by the National Office of Suicide Prevention, and, because the relationships are central, Consol's relationships with the, the local services, both statutory, the mental health services in Donegal, and so I would have a lot of contact with them, and Sheridan in mental health promotion would be my link person in Donegal. So we would collaborate a lot as well, so that, families would get access to some support.
Now, the figures show something in the region of maybe 530 people a year taking their lives through suicide in Ireland, and around 80% of the cases or thereabouts are male. And one of the, I suppose, more vulnerable groups, farmers, and the issues that they face, Noel, I mean, things like everything ranging from isolation to financial worries, relationships, all sorts of things can be factors.
I think so, yeah. I think, like, if you take around, the impact of isolation, as human beings, we're relational, and we need to have contact with others, and oftentimes, particularly, I'm from a, farming background myself. I grew up on a farm in West Cork, that offers that there's a lot of richness in that life. I think there are other set, drawbacks to that life as well. You spend a lot of time working on your own, Like we certainly hear as well the struggle for some farmers to, you know, to form relationships, to meet people, how that happens. I think probably rural life has changed significantly over the years. Drink driving laws have impacted. So, like, it certainly can leave people more vulnerable. I wouldn't say that it's the only factor in you know, what that might cause a person to move into, you know, a lot of distress, but certainly, you know, the significant, and those pressures can, you know, can be enormous in people financial and otherwise. And so if there's not appropriate supports, we're going to feel the impact of that, you know, in a much more real way, because, you know, we do need opportunities to talk, to say how it is. I think oftentimes that's not even about, you know, when we say, tell somebody, when we have an opportunity to say how it is, it doesn't mean that, you know, or, you know, if it's financial worries we have, that, you know, that they go away. But there is something about the opportunity to share, to say how it really is. Because if we move away from what's really happening from us, we're distancing ourselves from what's, you know, from our experience. And that creates an isolation, and that can be incredibly, incredibly difficult to deal with. I think we are beginning to see more people speak out around their own experiences of their own struggles in terms of, you know, mental ill health. And I think that's important, because it's important for all of us to look after our mental health. You know, and I think, again, you look at some of the figures, 1 in 4 of us are going to have some experience of mental ill health through our lifetime. So it affects a lot of people, and if it's not affecting us, it's possibly affecting people we know. And that can be challenging as well, you know, if you consider in for learning community, and, you know, if they're with their loved ones and they see their struggle, that can often be a difficult place to be. When we're watching somebody we care about and their struggle, and, you know, sometimes people can be reluctant, you know, to ask for help, to seek help and so forth. So, you know, those individuals really need to be encouraged towards something, because I suppose I've spent a lot of time, as, like, my background is rooted very much in social work, and more laterally in psychotherapy and counselling, and I think it's often very helpful to encourage people towards what might support them, and to, you know, also to say that things can be different, you know, and things do shift for people. I think I wouldn't have remained in social work and continued on to train as a psychotherapist if I didn't see actually the shifts that people can make. So we can move from feeling, you know, quite isolated, struggling, we can move to something a lot healthier.
My guest this evening, Noel O'Driscoll, Suicide Liaison Officer with Console. Noel, you have an office here in St. Joseph's Hospital in Stranorlar, and you have been reaching out and communicating with groups. You've addressed the county executive meeting of the Donegal executive of the Irish Farmers Association.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, I mean, a lot of this is an educational process, and being able to understand the warning signs. So what should people look out for? Are there telltale signs there? And if somebody is worried about a neighbour or worried about themselves, what's their best first step to do in that situation?
I would say if you're worried about somebody or, you know, a neighbour, I think the first thing is to gently put that out to the individual. You know, I think sometimes we can be scared of saying something, but if you notice a shift, you know, in somebody who has normally been, you know, let's take a very obvious example, but somebody who has been normally outgoing, and you're noticing that, you know, they're more withdrawn, or they're less engaged, or they seem distant or so forth, I think it's important to ask, you know, in a very human, very non-threatening way, you know, how are you? You know, and if you're worried about somebody, to share that. I think sometimes we can struggle, or we can find ourselves reluctant to say something, because we say, oh, well, I don't have the right words or so forth. And yet, I think if our intention is to show our concern, people don't really hear the words. They you know, they feel our concern, and so I think that's important. So I think it would be, you know, where you're noticing that, where somebody, you know, where somebody is, you know, there's a shift in their behaviour, sometimes, and I know other organisations, for example, Pieta House have a particular campaign running at the moment, and as I listened, I really thought some of what they were saying was very helpful. You know, they speak about certain signs, you know, that we talk about, you know, people giving away possessions, people struggling around sleep, they talk about people speaking the language of suicide, sometimes that can be in very obvious ways, sometimes it's a little bit harder to discern, people can talk about wanting to go away, and sometimes they can be much more direct than that, would it matter if I wasn't here anymore? And so, you know, just really, you know, if you're noticing something, I think when we're around people and we care for them, we know when they're different, and, I think it's there's no harm in putting out, listen, you know, how are you? Or this is what I've noticed. Yeah. You know, how are you doing?
For somebody who's maybe listening here tonight, it's important to get out the message that there is plenty of support out there. There are backup services.
Absolutely.
So if somebody has a query, no matter how small it might be, or they just want to find out a little bit or more information, what should they do? Who should they contact? What are the numbers?
Well, listen, if people are struggling themselves and they want some support, I think it's important that I put out Consol's suicide helpline, which is available, and that's available, provides, it's staffed by professional counsellors, and that provides support and advice and information for anybody who feels that they're in a loss of crisis or indeed has been bereaved by suicide, and that number is 1800-247-247. And that's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And as I said, it is staffed by professional counsellors, so it's more than a listening service. Now, if people are interested in finding out more about the service that's provided through by Consol and through myself in County Donegal, they're free to contact me on my mobile, which is 085-877-2028, and that's 085-877-2028, or else by email, which is noel.odriscoll@consol.ie. And, like whatever the query is, I'm happy to put people in contact with the right service, or it might be around their own experience of being bereaved through suicide, and I guess in terms of speaking to that, it doesn't matter whether the suicide would have taken place 6 months ago, 6 weeks ago, 6 years ago. I'm open, and the intention of the service, in conjunction with the HSE, funded by the National Office of Suicide Prevention, is that people get some of what they need, because maybe that's what we had identified, that families often express that in the immediate aftermath they felt like there was a lot of support, and there is. I think we have rituals in Ireland that really support people. But then there are also, people spoke about between that time after the funeral and an inquest, where they often felt left very alone, and they can be very strong feelings, anger, guilt, regret, sadness, shock, numbness. Some people might feel all or some of these feelings or none of them, and so getting some support around that, would be great. The other number that, Chris, I would like to put out is there's a farm and rural stress helpline, and that's 1800-724-645. 1800-724-645. And, also to say, look, while the service is very much around families, we're also happy to reach into workplaces, and because I guess the people, unfortunately, and the individuals who have taken their life, you know, they're located in our communities, in our workplaces and so forth. So they can be an impact for many people. So whoever has been impacted, certainly I am very happy to offer whatever might be supportive. And that involves a collaboration. And so the first step of that is to make a call and, I would follow up from there.
And that was Noel O'Driscoll there, the Suicide Liaison Officer with Console. The Minister for Agriculture, Simon Coveney, has this week announced his plans for a new agri-food strategy up to 2025. He said that the strategy will be developed by a committee of leading figures from the agri-food sector and will set out the key actions required to maximise the contribution of the sector to economic growth, job creation and environmental sustainability over the next decade. The minister said he's expecting the new strategy to be published in July 2015. The minister also opened a public consultation on the strategy with submissions invited from both organisations and individuals. The ICSA Suckler Chairman Dermot Kelleher has expressed outrage that over 2,200 appeal cases under the 2013 Land Parcel Identification System review are still sitting on the shelves. He said that farmers who appealed the 2013 LPIS penalties are by definition those who have suffered significant penalties and who feel blackguarded by the whole process. They've been cut on their 2013 single payment and are also losing money in the 2014 single payment, he said. Well, he added that farmers feel very let down by the minister and his department and Brussels. Just time for the cattle prices earlier this week. Steers making €3.85 a kilo to €3.90 a kilo. Heifers €3.90 a kilo to €3.95 a kilo. U-grade bulls €3.80 a kilo to €3.90 a kilo. And R-grade cows €3.40 a kilo to €3.50 a kilo. Sheep prices, well, lambs up to 23 kilos making €5 a kilo. And ewes €2.60 a kilo to €3 a kilo. Well, that's just about it for tonight's Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. From me, Chris Ashmore, a very good evening.